This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this month. Everyone, and welcome to episode 61 of Old TV with a New Twist. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, Eden.
Hello.
Today's a very special episode, though, because we are not going to give a review of a show. We are going behind the scenes. We're reviewing it from the inside.
That's right.
And only Eden Buck can do this, you guys. This is behind the scenes of The Price is Right. Now, I have to do the stats of the show first because I always do it. And these are numbers I have never thrown out.
Wow. Okay? I can only imagine.
51 seasons.
Wow.
1972 to now. Still going on. 9,459 episodes.
Wow.
We are just going to talk about one specific day. We are talking about June 5th, 2015, which was season 43, episode 172 of The Price is Right.
Which I can't believe it's been since 2015 already.
I know. And here comes the first secret. When was it taped, Eden?
It was taped in April of 2015.
Exactly. So they're taped a few months in advance. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is how it all happened. In October of 2014, Eden's best friend Gabby moved to Los Angeles. And there was much weeping and crying and hugging. And I think Gabby moved on a Tuesday and was back to visit that weekend. I think it felt like
she did come back maybe the next weekend.
Yeah. And then you already had a trip to California planned
right, to
visit her. But anyway, so she went out to California to visit Gabby. And among all the things they did, they got, and I'm not going to say tickets, to go to The Price is Right. Explain how the tickets work, Eden.
Yeah, so you go on the website and you sign up for a day that you might want to go see the show. And we, a couple of days before, did get line vouchers. We were told that we had vouchers for the afternoon taping. So they tape one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And we were told that the doors open at, I think it was noon. Get there a little early if you want to. So we had line vouchers and we thought, you know, okay, we're going to see The Price is Right.
But a line voucher just means you ain't going to see The Price is Right. You're going to stand in line.
You want to stand in line.
And
you
maybe
have a voucher quite literally for the line.
Not for the show.
Yeah.
And you got, they told you to be there for noon. Y'all got there at 10:30.
What we thought was early. We thought we'll get there at 10:30. We'll be first, second, third in line. We'll get in. We'll get first, second, third row. We'll be close up. None of that makes any sense now looking back. That's not how any of this works. That's not how any, there was about 15 more hoops to jump through before you got anywhere near your seat. So yeah, we got there and you quite literally have a voucher to stand in line. And because we were the afternoon taping, they told us that everyone who did not get in for the morning taping was automatically going to be put in front of us, which that was a little depressing because it seemed like a lot of people had been turned away. It was a lot of people,
right,
who had been turned away from the morning show, and they got to just hop right in front of us in line. So back we kept getting moved, and then it was time for them to go in, and they went in and left us out on the sidewalk. We got left.
So that stinks.
That stinks. Yeah, we had our line vouchers. We had already been there for a couple hours at this point.
Yeah, so they were left out. So that's the end of the show. Thank you for telling us.
You're welcome. That was the behind the scenes of The Price is Right. I hope you enjoyed. No, so they did go in.
Go in where? Not in the building.
No, just right past where we were standing. So we were quite literally on the outside of the gates. We were on the street. We were on the curb. The line voucher gets you nowhere. You get to sit on the curb.
Okay.
The first group of the people who were not let into the morning show, they're all let in.
The people that were turned away that morning that came back were almost 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then they let all them in and then they say there's room for more, or?
Yeah. So they come back, which at this point they let the first 300 in and we're thinking, oh no, we're probably not going to get in. They do tell us, don't leave. We may have room for more, but we don't know. So we waited. And then they came out and said, we have room for four more. We were the last two in. So they let the two people in front of us go. And we were like, well, we're a group of two. Like, we're obviously not going to go in alone. Right. So they let us two in together.
Yeah. So y'all with
the last two, I think we were 303 and 304.
And it was 300 people before you. Yeah. So that worked out.
So yeah, we did get let in. Everybody behind us was told to go home. So that's what a line voucher and getting there at 10:30 for your 12 o'clock show will get you.
We'll get
the last two people in line. So
okay, so now you're in. You're in the gates, but you're still outside. You're not in the studio. Mm-mm. By far. We've got a long way to go.
I don't even see the studio.
So there's a long, long line chock full of enthusiastic fans. Mm-hmm. This is a show that people go to and want to be picked. Mm-hmm. So I wondered if there was a lot of acting up and acting out and showing out and you're like, people are acting a fool out here.
It was one of the more bizarre things I've ever been a part of. Like when you were standing in line and there was nobody around, pretty chill. Yeah. The second anyone with a CBS badge walked by, it was, oh my gosh, I'm having the best day. I'm so happy. It's just, it got crazy. Okay. We did not do that.
Now, I'm gonna say Eden and Gabby were dressed alike and they were absolutely adorable.
I forced Gabby to do this.
Gabby's not
If you know anything about me and Gabby, you know that we are complete opposites.
Yes.
And this is very my vibe and the furthest thing from Gabby's vibe. She was like, I don't want to get picked. I'm like, what?
Eden made t-shirt that said Louisiana girls love The Price is Right. And they both had on jean shorts.
Right. So I was going to wear sandals, but the line voucher said you had to wear closed toe shoes, which now makes sense. There's a lot of moving parts on the set. There's a lot of things from overhead. There's things. It's essentially a construction site. So yeah. Changed from the sandals to the cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots. And then she had a big blue bow in her hair.
Yeah. Like a giant cheer bow. Just really spruced up an outfit.
However, I just found out that this ensemble got Eden noted on a app or a website called The Hottest Chicks from The Price is Right.
Which, bizarre.
That he lists any episode that had a hot chick in it, and he listed why she was hot and her name.
Ugh.
And what fetish of his that she fulfilled.
Yeah.
And yours was the boots.
The boots.
June 25th, 2015, Eden Buck, boots.
One of the ickier lists I'm a part of. Yeah. I don't love that one.
So then this line is a very long queue. And they have little booths, you said, where that sold like stickers and buttons and things in case you did not have mm-hmm. the foresight that Eden had to make these shirts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like a typical like merch shop.
Okay. So then at this point in line, you're walking through and then you're handed two stickers, one with a number. Yours was 303.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were handed that iconic Price is Right name badge mm-hmm. with your name on it that says Eden. Very iconic.
Yes. Your full legal name, it has to be.
Okay.
So Gabby's was Gabrielle.
Oh.
It has to be your full legal name presented on your ID.
Well, I'll never call it Gabrielle. Sorry. But then they were presented with paperwork to sign. Something about knowing that your image might be on TV and this gives CBS permission mm-hmm. to use your image and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, it was the typical, like, typical, we're filming.
Yeah. Okay. There's a step and repeat. You can get a photograph together. And then they moved into another outdoor queue, but mm-hmm. this one had benches.
Yes. At this point, 3 hours in, 3.5 hours in, is when they start dividing us up into 20. And when it gets to us, I'm like, what is this? Why are we being divided? What's going on? The 20 people, we were auditioning. Gabby and I were in the last group. When they got to us, we were told, okay, you're going to go talk to a couple of producers. They're going to ask you some questions. Just be yourself.
Right. Keep in mind, like we said, there's 304 people going into this studio. 8 people are going to be picked. That's it. And have a chance maybe to get on stage and play
right,
the game.
Right.
So you get interviewed. You want to share anything about that?
Again, because we were the last two in line, we were the last two to be interviewed out of all 304 people. So I got to see the 19 people go before me. So they go down the line. They ask, what's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Random questions. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the same question for each person. Some people they talk to more than others. Like Gabby, hers was very quick because she did not want to be picked.
Yeah.
She's like, my name's Gabby. I live here. She did not want to be picked. Yeah, leave me alone. So when they got to me, they asked me, name, Eden, where do you live? I said New Orleans, because mm-hmm. obviously I'm not going to shout out Madisonville. So I said New Orleans. They asked me what I did in New Orleans, and I said, nothing. What do you mean nothing?
She had just graduated from college, so that's why she was.
I just graduated from LSU. And you did have a job. I was working at Stone Creek, so I did have a job, but kind of pulling their leg, joking a little bit. I do nothing. Well, how do you pay your bills? My parents. I said, I'm mooching. You got to help them out. Being a little funny, just trying to catch their attention. Also being honest, because I was living with my parents, and mm-hmm. though I had a job, you could describe it as mooching.
I won't comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was enjoying the fruits of my parents' labor. Can't remember, honestly, what they said after that. I think that there was some mention of the outfit, whether it was like your boots, like your bow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something about the uniqueness of the outfit. And that was it.
Okay. So now I would assume you being the last person interviewed or second to last 303, which, you know, 304 didn't mm-hmm. count because Gabby was going to blow it. By the time they reached 303, you had a figure. They interviewed 302 people. They for sure picked 8 other ones or 9 other ones.
I honestly thought, why are they still doing this?
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to go in and watch at this point because they definitely have already picked their contestants.
Okay, Eden, we're going to take a short break right here and we will be right back. I just want to take this moment to announce that if you're not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And in that group, you can find out what's coming up next, find links to watch the episodes of the classic TV shows before we drop the podcast, and you can give us some feedback. Let us know what shows you'd like to see us do. So please look for us on Facebook, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And we're back. And Eden is still in line, y'all.
Do you feel like you've been listening for 3.5 hours? This line is where you can see the doors to get in, at least. You're very close. There's TVs, there's fans, because again, we're still outside. Mm-hmm. There's a concession stand to buy snacks, so if you're hungry, and they make an announcement, if you have to go to the bathroom, go now, and we're about to take your phone. We're about to let you in the building, and we're going to be taking your phone one at a time. You'll get a claim number. Don't lose your claim number, because that's the only way you can get your phone back at the end. And they tell us that. And then we, again, go on to wait.
You're now 5 hours into this.
Yes. Yes.
You got to want to see The Price is Right really bad.
You got to love The Price is Right. Oof. You better come correct if you're trying to see The Price is Right. But it took far longer than I thought this was going to take.
Now, I remember this because it was exciting. You texted me and Dad, and you texted your then boyfriend, now husband, our precious Gino, to let us all know that they were taking your phone away, that you would be incommunicado for an indefinite amount of time. Gino was trying to text her back to say, hey, win me a boat.
That was his famous last words.
So now, Eden, finally.
It's time.
Finally, almost 6 hours into this, you get to enter the
studio. The doors of heaven open up. Well, and at this point, I just kept thinking, they can't still be taping the morning show. That was hours ago. What are they doing? Why can't we go in yet?
But first, when you walked in the door, mm-hmm. there was a dry erase board right there that told you what.
Yes, this is going to air on June 5th, 2015. That will be the show if you're looking to see it.
Cool. Go on.
When the doors open, I think we're just going to be let in. Number order. You sit in number order. Exactly. They start calling numbers. I need numbers 7, 32. And they're taking them in little batches of numbers. Very odd. Okay, I guess there's assigned seating. I don't know. So we go in. And again, I'm thinking, oh no, we're going to have a bad seat. We're going to be sitting in the corner. Well, the person who brings us in, they guide us to 2 seats in the first 5 rows. And there's tape, like blue painter's tape over our seats. And it had my number and Gabby's number on the tape. Every seat around us is filled. They take the tape off our seats and they say, here you go, here's your seat. Okay. This is odd. This struck me as odd. And in my mind, this was the first time that I was like, one of us might get picked because this is strange.
Yeah.
Why would they need to know where 303 and 304 are sitting? But then I kind of explained it away because I'm like, oh, it might just be the color of our shirts. They want a good disbursement of shirt color or the way people look. I mean, it's TV. They want things to be broken up and look a certain way.
And so look, I'm like, she's not going to say this, but I'm going to say it. They're very two cute young girls, and they may want to have them up front.
Right,
they don't
up
want people
front.
To think the whole audience is old people. You know?
Yeah, they really wanted to wow the audience on that day.
Okay, so they tell them the show's going to get ready to start soon, but they give the audience some instructions to follow.
They came out again in the studio and said, when Drew enters, we want high energy. You're clapping, you're standing, you're applauding, you're cheering. When your name is called to come on down, we're not going to be able to hear the names called, which, again, something I didn't
know.
That's
huge. How many people out there hear so-and-so, come on down? The audience doesn't hear that, y'all. Okay, tell us, Eden.
Yeah, so when they say, come on down, they let you know the studio is very loud because they're encouraging you to cheer and chant and hoot and holler. So you probably won't hear what they say. He's talking into a microphone, but it's a recording microphone. It's not a projecting microphone. So you see him saying it in the box. He's kind of like off to the right in a box. So you have to look at a cue card. They hold up a sign with only your name on it, just your name in big, bold letters. They also told us that Drew Carey had just had neck surgery, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come up and are jumping up and down, don't hug him too much. Don't jostle him. And then, of course, just follow the directions. They're going to hold up applause signs. They're going to hold up signs when we need to stand up, sit down, whatever we need to do, follow those signs.
Was there ever a point where they stopped and said, okay, y'all weren't excited and clapping enough. Do it again.
I think we did like a practice, like, okay, and we're going to practice like we're announcing Drew. And here's Drew Carey. And we applauded. And I do think that they were like, okay, louder, more. Because you feel a little funnier, like, you know, not a huge Drew Carey fan. I mean, it's fine. Loved Whose Line Is It Anyway? But, you know, and we did a little practice and then it was time to go.
Right. Okay. It goes almost flawlessly. Showtime. Drew comes out. The audience follows the script perfectly. Y'all cheer. You stand up. You do all that. And then they cut because Drew made a mistake.
He walked out wrong, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. And this is where I get my first glimpse into TV. Because again, in my little naive mind, I'm thinking he's going to come out. We're going to seamlessly call people up. The taping will just take just as long as the episode is.
Oh, no.
No. He walks out. He makes a mistake. Cut. He goes back in. They call him out again. We cheer again. He comes back out again. That was a good take. So apparently. So they did keep the second take.
So we're going to go ahead and speed through the first half of the show. They call four audience members to come to contestants row. Three of them make it on stage, play the games. Those three spin the wheel. The winner's going to play the winner of the second half in the showcase showdown. Boom. You and Gabby are still sitting in the audience in your special seats.
Mm-hmm.
And then they open the second half of the show. And we're going to play a clip about how the second half of the show starts.
Let's get another contestant out here, George.
I love calling people on down. And it's going to be Eden Buck. Come on down.
Okay, just hearing that clip is exciting.
It was. Big smiles.
Although Eden didn't hear that day.
I did not.
Eden just had to look at the board and she saw a name.
That technically wasn't my last name. So my last name has two U's in it. And the sign just had one U. Again, I'm like, maybe there's an Eden Buck here with one U in her name. I don't want to run up and look like a fool.
This was so interesting to me because if you ever watch that show, the camera kind of pans the audience and it stops right on that person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do they wait and see somebody jump up and then get to them? No, they knew because of that tape on that chair that those cameramen already have written down. They knew right where they were going.
They knew exactly where I was sitting.
That is so fascinating.
It's crazy how things become clearer as you go in the process. Like I didn't know why it took so long to get in. And then I realized it because it was assigned seating and they had to make a whole seating chart. And then I didn't know why there was tape on our seat. And then when I got picked, I'm like, oh, well, that's why they had to know where I was sitting. So it all starts to become clearer.
Yeah. You are now on contestants row. What are you thinking at this point?
This is definitely like a snowball point where you're like, oh my gosh, I did it. I'm on contestants row. I'm so excited. And it immediately shifts to, oh my gosh, I have to get off contestants row. This is going to be so embarrassing.
I don't want to be a loser.
Yeah. I don't want to go home and say I got called up to contestants row and that's it.
And
thanks for listening. So I'm immediately panicked. I have no clue what things cost because the price is right. You know, you play your little games. How much does this toaster cost?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I don't know. How much does this grocery item cost? Lord, I don't know.
As the aforementioned mooching off your parents would attest, you have no idea what anything costs.
As you've heard, I don't know the price of anything. And then just waiting for that inevitable $1 bid. If someone bids a dollar over me and they win, I am going to lose my mind. And you immediately look at the people on Contestants Row like,
Yeah.
Which one of you is going to betray me?
They come out and they're bidding on something. No, it was a dress and a hat.
And hats and shoes.
Yeah. So everybody bids, and somebody did bid a dollar over you, correct? Right here? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
So you had to go sit back down while everybody played. But they stop taping after every segment, you told me, and they take like a 5 or 10 minute break because they have to set up the next game, the prizes. And you said there were 4 large stages with curtains where most of the prizes were. But then the games are either lowered from the ceiling or rolled on stage. And they have to do that between every segment. Correct? Now here, because you had just been called up to Contestants Row, they stopped and they took you and did something to you.
Yeah.
What they did to you, Eden.
So
what they did, my baby.
When they call you up to Contestants Row, they tell you you have to talk into the microphone.
Right.
On Contestants Row, those like skinny microphones. But after your first bid, you then get taken to the back and they mic'd me up. So they put a wire down my back. It was clipped to my shirt. They had it clipped to my shorts. And that way, I don't have to worry about talking into the microphone. I now have my own microphone on me. And then I went back to Contestants Row.
So the next item comes out and it is a block of knives. And they are all going to bid on the block of knives. And we're going to hear a clip of that bidding.
Natalie, what do you say?
$500.
Good luck. Elena.
$475.
Eden.
$550.
$550. Lakeisha.
$1.
That's a retail price. Wow, we went the wrong way, Lakeisha. $1,055. Eden, come on up here. Nice to have you here. Nice to have you here. George, let's not waste any time.
Okay, so we just listened to that clip and we're laughing too because she is a screaming and a squealing.
And funny story about the bidding, when you're on Contestants Row, when they roll the prize out, the people on Contestants Row turn around and try to get advice from the audience on how much they should bid. And the girl behind me kept saying 900. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. There's no way these knives are $900.
Right.
And so we bid, you know, the 400s, the 500s, and Lakeisha thinks we are all over. So she bids a dollar and I'm like, dang, she's probably right. And lo and behold, the lady behind me was right. It was $1,000.
So she bid a dollar. But if Lakeisha had bid 501, I'd be interviewing her right now.
You would. That's right.
So Eden goes up on stage and following the rules, she very daintily kissed Drew on the cheek, didn't hug him or didn't do anything. My girl knows how to follow rules, except don't chew gum in school.
Right.
So she's going to play a game called Secret X.
Bless
she it. Was so confused. If they would have just said tic-tac-toe, but Eden had no idea what to do with these X's. And Gabby, I love you, but you were absolutely no help. She kept looking to her friend in the audience and Gabby's just sitting there smiling.
Made of stone.
Help her out, girl. Help her out.
Secret X is a special game.
It's tic-tac-toe. I've been playing it since I was 4. Go on.
So after you get called up, we take a break. We see tic-tac-toe has now appeared and he tells me it's called Secret X. And essentially, if you know how to play tic-tac-toe, it's exactly that.
But if you get 3 X's in a row, what do you win?
A year supply of Krispy Kreme donuts and coffee, a range with a double oven and a 5 burner cooktop, a dining room set, and a set of Williams-Sonoma dishes.
Okay. And the total prizes were worth $5,328. Now, they gave you an X, and then you got to bid on 2 items to earn 2 more X's. And those 2 items were a juicer and a toaster oven. The weird thing is you and I had just shopped for a toaster oven the week before you left.
Yeah.
Remember
our
that?
Our toaster oven had broken or maybe we didn't have one at that point. I don't know. And we had just shopped.
So I'm like,
ovens.
Oh, my girl's got this one. So tell of your incredible handling of playing this game, Eden. None of which was seen on TV because they had to edit this heavily because my girl was confused.
So I won the 2 additional X's from correctly pricing the juicer and the toaster oven. So I have 3 X's to place And all you have to do is get tic-tac-toe. There's going to be a line in the center of the grid that turns over, and there's going to be one X. It's either going to be in the top line, the middle line, or the bottom line. You're looking to guess where the X is in that middle grid, and then you're just placing X's around it to try and get a straight line. Guys, I did not understand. I'm turning around. I'm talking to Drew. I'm asking him how long I can take. I'm asking him for clarification on the rules. You've never seen somebody struggle so much at tic-tac-toe.
You're nervous.
Yeah. Full disclaimer. Yeah. I know how to play tic-tac-toe. Yeah. I play a mean game of tic-tac-toe. In that moment, the pressure is on. The audience is shouting things out. They're pointing there. I'm just confused.
Once again, Gabby was no help. Go
no.
on.
I think she briefly points at one point. And if you know anything about Gabby, you know her points are very small. She doesn't even point loudly. So that was hard to see. No, so it takes me a good while. It probably takes me a solid 5-ish minutes total to play the game. And you see about a minute of it.
Yeah. Well, you said Drew was very nice. Because you're like, how long do I have? And he's like, don't worry about it. Just take your time.
Everyone in the studio who worked there was so nice. I mean, he truly was like, take your time, trying to keep me calm. Take your time wherever you think it should go, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of chuckling. I think he was kind of chuckling because he was like, ma'am, it's tic-tac-toe. So I finally get tic-tac-toe done. Thankfully for the audience, I did place them in smart locations. And there was another blog, I think, outside of the hottest chicks on Price is Right. There was another one that just like recaps each episode. And in that recap, they were like, why would she ever have placed the X in that first spot she was going to put it? I urge you, go watch the episode. They did leave in a little bit of stupidity because you see me pointing to a spot that you should never, ever put the X. Take the simplest of game and make it life-size and have 300 people shouting at you.
Yeah, and TV cameras pointing at you.
And $6,000 on the line.
Yeah.
It's harder than it seems.
So you finally place the X's and the board flips over to reveal whether you have won or not. And what happened, Eden?
I win.
She won. And you guys, that year of donuts, I enjoyed.
It was very good.
I enjoyed the knives until she moved out and took them with her. But
And I still have those knives and they're great knives and I need to get them sharpened.
So far she has won in contestants row and gone up on stage. And now she has won almost $6,000 in prizes on the stage. Mm-hmm. So you're about a little over $7,000 in prizes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So after you play, you go sit off to the side. So if you're looking at the stage, it's all the way to the left and it's just a row reserved for everyone who has played a game and will then spin the wheel to either see if they're going to be in the showcase or if not.
Right. Okay. So she goes and sits there and then she comes to be lined up on stage with the other two people who are going to spin the wheel with her. Well, she said it's very hot on stage mm-hmm. because of all the lights and they come out and kind of blot your faces yes. a little bit with mm-hmm. powder or something. And I asked her, how hot was it? And you told me I felt like an item on the Golden Corral buffet.
I don't remember saying that, but I believe I said that.
You did say that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about spinning the big wheel. Mm-hmm. Now, they also give you some instructions on that.
Each step that you go on, especially if you're on stage, they're given more instructions along every step of the way, which was very helpful because I had no clue what was going on. They roll the wheel out. The wheel is very heavy. There's handles on the side. Pull it. Go all the way up. Pull it all the way down. And then when you let it go, back up. Don't tilt your head forward because one of those handles is going to knock you in the head. You're going to fall over. We're going to put it on TV. We're going to laugh. So back up after you spin the wheel, give a little shout out. And that's really it. Just have fun. Keep this high energy.
So when she goes up, Drew asked her if there's anybody. She spins the wheel. You pull it down. Good girl. And Drew, and while it's spinning around, Drew says, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to? She gave a shout out to her parents. That's me, Holla, mm-hmm. and her boyfriend mm-hmm. and her best friend in the audience. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah. Up until this point, she's not been much
not
of a help.
Not been much help, but she's the reason you're there.
Yes. And I will say to this day, I have a regret about this experience and I still regret this. I was going to shout out, of course, to my parents, my lovely boyfriend, who is now my husband, and my best friend, Gabby, in the audience, but I should have given I honestly should have just devoted the whole time to Harry Styles of One Direction at the time.
Thanks for that, Eden.
It was very soon after my episode aired on The Price is Right that someone shouted, I don't even remember who it was. LeBron James, maybe. Mm-hmm. Someone shouted him out in their wheel spin shout out.
And
it was
him?
All over TMZ. Someone shouts out LeBron James on The Price is Right. It's so funny. And I was like, if I had just said Harry Styles, I'd have been on TMZ. He probably would have reached out. We would probably be married now. And I'd be on an island somewhere.
You would be.
I wouldn't even be here.
You wouldn't be here. So I'm glad you did.
So I do regret that. But yeah, that I definitely should have shouted out to Harry Styles. Yep. So if you're listening, Harry, shout out. I regret not shouting.
I'm sure he listens to this podcast.
I think
there
it's
you
his
go.
Favorite.
I think it probably is. So you remember what the wheel landed on?
80 cents.
80 cents. And you did what?
I stayed. My mind wanted to keep going because I really wanted the glory of the dollar. But when I got the 80, just your odds are you got to stay.
So the next player goes under. Oh, no, you were the first one because the next player was under 80 cents. So take a hike. You're done. And then the next player spun and got over a dollar.
So maybe 90 or a dollar.
I got over a dollar. The thing is to get closest to a dollar. You don't even, girl, it's like tic-tac-toe all over you. You still don't know.
Y'all, I'm not joking.
How did you even get on this show?
Listen, cue back the first part when I said I don't know the price of anything. I don't know how anything works. Very much that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, truly, when people are spinning the wheel, I'm mathing in my head. I'm like, all right, we got 40 cents and we got 30 cents. What is that? What is that? I'm really calculating.
That was the first person. So they were under you. So
and the second person?
And then the second person over a dollar. He got like $1.25. Gotcha. So Eden won the showcase. I mean, the spin. So she is going to the final showcase, you guys.
And there goes the wheels turning in my head again.
I can't.
And now I'm in the showcase. I can't lose the showcase.
Yeah.
I gotta win my showcase.
You were putting an awful lot of pressure on yourself,
the
Eden.
Stress was
unbelievable.
High. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so then you said you were very, very shocked and terrified at this point.
Yeah, this is the point where it all culminates to because it's
this
like,
is it.
Okay, I got off contestants row. I played my game. I won. I spun the wheel. I'm in the showcase. I can't lose this. This is it. This is what it comes down to. Think of this story. I gotta win.
Okay, so was there a lot now? Was there a lot of lag time between this and when you played the showcase showdown?
Yes. Yeah, there was a good bit of pause here because they had to then remove the wheel, which is really heavy. So if you're looking at the stage, picture it just like a typical stage, like a Broadway stage mm-hmm. or a play stage. There's like wings where they roll everything into. And if you look off of the stage, there's just like games lined up and things lined up and prizes lined up. So they had to get the wheel off the stage and then they brought out all the things for the first showcase. I believe the second showcase, I think they were both on the stage at once, just in different sections. I can't really remember. And then, they had to roll out the podiums for the showcase showdown. I think we got padded down with some powder again. And then we got another set of instructions for how this whole last segment is going to go.
Yeah. So there's three instructions for that. Tell us what they told you.
High energy. Typically,
that's
all of their instructions. Keep it high energy. We want movement. We want you clapping. We want you cheering. And then just remember that it's very easy when you're seeing the showcases, you're trying to think of prices. You're calculating, okay, mm-hmm. a boot is going to be this much. A trip is going to be this much. They said it's very easy to get that deer in the headlights look when you're trying to calculate in your head. So just remember to not get that look. Keep smiling. Keep clapping. And then, of course, whatever you're thinking to bid, go a little bit under. So if you think it's $25,000, go under that. Because if we both bid over, no one wins. And they don't want that. They said, we do not want that. We want every show to end in a winner. So whatever you're thinking it is, go a little bit under.
Okay. And that's what they told you. No pressure.
Right. I'm like, okay, so now I have to calculate and then knock a little bit off. And how much do I knock off?
So with those instructions in mind, the showcase showdown begins. Now, you were the biggest winner of the two because Brent was kind of an idiot. I got to admit how that guy made it.
I think is it whoever?
Because he lost his game. He had the least amount of money won, but he just spun the wheel well.
It's whoever spins the highest on the wheel.
You don't know.
No. I'm telling you, he spun the wheel. For his three people.
No, it goes by.
The most winnings?
The most winnings.
I'm Googling
it. He didn't even win his game that he played. You won the game that you played. So you won more money than him. It had nothing to do with spinning a wheel.
I'm Googling it. What determines who goes first in the showcase showdown? Well, folks, believe she's right.
I know this game.
The contestants.
It's whoever has won the most prizes and all so far.
I was under the assumption that it was because I got 80 cents and he got less than 80 cents on the wheel, but that is not the case. It is who won more in their game.
Right. And you won more than he did.
Did not. I don't even remember what game he played.
Yeah. Well, he lost badly. Okay. So then the two showcases come out. And of course, because she's first, she gets to look at the first showcase and decide if she wants to bid on it. So what comes out is a treadmill, a 65-inch 3D HD TV, a pair of motorcycles, and a trip to the private island in the Grenadines. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now what's really weird is that when you see them present these showcases to the audience, you know, mm-hmm. there's a guy standing there saying, oh, and you can get this, you can get this. Eden, that's not what Eden sees.
Not at this moment. No. They refilmed this one.
Later.
Okay. They didn't refilm mine, but they refilmed the first one. Because
he fell off the treadmill, didn't he?
No, or something? He, something happened where they had to refilm
it. We'll talk about it later when you actually hear him refilming it, but it's not the one they showed on TV. But you did not pick this one. Any particular reason you passed it on to Dumb Brent?
A couple of reasons. Motorcycles, not my thing. The TV would have been nice. Treadmill would have been nice. And the trip to the Grenadines obviously would have been nice. But the motorcycles, I felt like that was like the vehicle mm-hmm. in this one. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want motorcycles. Also, just being overwhelmed, being the first person to go and have the choice. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even pricing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, a treadmill. Oh, look, a TV. And then about halfway through, I was like, oh, heck, if I'm bidding on this, I'm supposed to be putting the prices in my head. So when he came to me and said, do you want a bid or pass? I was like, well, I got to pass because I haven't been thinking of a single price. Yeah. So I passed. So also with the hope of if the second showcase is a vehicle, maybe it's a car, maybe it's something cool.
Yeah. So she passes it on to Brent and he obviously was crunching some numbers because he comes up with a very distinct exact number for this, $25,000.
Which I don't envy Brent's position either because, again, if you're in that second spot,
you don't know.
You're pricing, but you're like, oh, they might not even hand it to me. So you might forget to price.
Right.
And they do only film this once.
Right.
So there's no like, oh, you see it and then we're going to film it again and you get more time to think. This is truly only filmed once.
Right.
So they present it, they come back to you and you bid. There is no time there.
Right. So then this, now you're going to describe this before they get ready to open the curtain on this one. You know, this is the one you're bidding on. Mm-hmm. So you're nervous, right?
I put my game face on now.
Okay.
So after they do the first showcase and Brent bids, then I do think we have a little pause here where they're like resetting and just getting things ready for the second one, but I don't see anything.
Right. Tell us real quick how rinky dink those podiums are that y'all were standing at for the showcase.
That's, I mean, not necessarily rinky dink, like not falling apart, but definitely the fronts are lovely and the back is tape and wires and just functional.
Yeah.
The back is strictly functional.
Yeah.
There's no fancy paint. There's no fancy colors. It's a block of wood with maybe a little thing you're standing on.
Yeah.
And there's tape and there's wires taped down and there's just stuff everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then curtain opens. Tell us this showcase that you're going to bid on.
Curtain opens and this is my my showcase. Let me double check everything. I think I remember all of it. So one of it, it was a light up dance floor.
LED dance floor.
A light up LED dance floor. A DJ setup. So a DJ booth and all the things you need to do that. And then a 20-foot party barge.
Woo!
Which I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what any of this costs.
This thing was gorgeous.
And we're not talking normal items here. If you had to guess what a motorcycle costs or a trip to the Grenadines cost, you could probably guess. Give me a guess of what you think a DJ booth costs.
Yeah.
And give me a guess of what you think a 9x9 dance floor costs. I mean, you really no idea.
Like, and a 20-foot party barge.
Right. I mean, none of these things. Again, I could probably guess on the party barge, but the dance floor and the DJ booth, not something I've ever seen. Not something I've ever priced.
So tell us what bid you come up with, Eden.
I bid, and this is where I'm not really sure. Again, much like the tic-tac-toe, I don't really know what was going through my brain. I think a couple of things were going through. I think I was counting, and then I think I was just remembering go under what you think it is.
Right.
So I do think in my mind, I had 25,000 and I was like, well, let's lower it a little bit.
Right.
My bid, $24,679 and 50 cents. No, I'm just kidding. No sense. We did have to give a nice bid, but
Drew kind of chuckled.
I think the whole audience chuckled.
It was an odd bid, but that's my girl. Okay. So the bids are taken and then there's a break. they take a break here. And during the break, someone comes on stage and they put little cards in the slot on each podium, which tells the amount that that showcase is actually worth and the difference
right.
with what you guys bid.
Yes.
So then we come back and Drew is going to read the cards. But when he goes to do it, he pulls the card. And he pulled the wrong card. The card had the wrong number on it.
Yes.
Whichever so one he pulled.
They put Brent's card in mine and my card in Brent's. So when they pulled mine.
Yeah, they had a cut. Wait. This is the wrong one. Yeah. So they had to come back. But we also have a clip of him reading the bids. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a listen to that right now.
Start with you. You had the first showcase, bid $25,000. Actual retail price, $26,306. Not bad. $1,306 difference. Eden, you bid $24,679. Actual retail price, $25,454. Difference of $775. Congratulations. You just got a party book.
And we just listened to Eden win the showcase. You looked very shocked, I have to admit, and it was very close because his difference was 1306. And you said, what happened when they told him you're 1306 off?
He says, you know, he underbid by $1,306. And that's really close. If you're a Price is Right watcher, that's pretty close. So we take a break. Cameras cut. I'm congratulating him. I said, oh my gosh, that's a really good bid. Congratulations. We all thought he won.
So did his wife.
This is where mom's beef with his wife comes in. His wife, they show her on the episode and she's clapping.
In the audience. And she's, excited. No, and she's high-fiving the people all around. Are like, we got this. We got this. This little girl in her bow and her boots is going down. I don't like that.
Nothing wrong with her celebrating that. We all, I mean, even on stage, we all were like, oh my gosh, you definitely won. That was really good.
To this day, when I see her high-fiving, it bothers me.
Why? Others' joy should it's not like bring
she,
you
No, because she's cheering because she thought my baby was going down in flames and you weren't.
She thought she won. Anywho, I do not hold any ill will to Brent's wife.
And as we know, Eden was $775 under that weird bid. So anyway, what's odd is that her boyfriend wanted to text her and say, win me a boat. And she did win a boat.
I did win a boat. I sure did.
So Drew announces her total winnings of $31,930. They retrieved Gabby from the audience. A CBS worker went and got her out of her seat. And then she ran up on stage and they were hugging. And the show closed with the credits running over you and Gabby.
Shrieking and dancing.
And screaming and dancing. There is a screen grab of that I'm going to put on the Facebook page. And it's absolutely adorable. Drew came over and talked to you at the end of the show. And I asked you, what was he saying? And you said, I think he was asking me about my crazy bid.
I'm pretty sure it was, where'd you get that number from? And I was like, I don't know, Drew.
So if you think this is the end of this story, it is not. Because even though at this point, she is between 7.5 and 8 hours into this odyssey, she is not finished at CBS yet. After that, she's escorted backstage. And they meet up with all the other winners. Anybody who has won any kind of a prize or even the people who were called up to contestants row and didn't get on. Did they?
I think they get something.
They get something.
Maybe some, like
a consolation. Something.
Something.
If they won anything of any kind of monetary value, they have to go backstage. And once again, they take it in the order of how much you won. Now, of course, Eden being the big winner of the day, having won everything presented in front of her, is the last one to go. God bless you.
Thank you.
She's the last one to go, which means she's going to be the last one leaving. They're going to be locking the doors behind her. They're going to be sweeping those floors while she's still there. So
I sit and wait without my phone.
Waiting again.
Just backstage at the Price
is Right. We don't know where poor Gabby is. Probably sitting in a dark parking lot by herself.
I just said, I need to ask her because I think she was let out with the audience. And I don't know.
And there's a good couple hours left to go.
Waiting with the other contestants' counterparts.
Yeah. I'm sure they didn't put them outside. I would hope not.
I don't even remember where I met up with her. I think it was outside.
I think it was outside. You met up with her.
I think it was outside.
Oh my gosh. So they're called up one by one in order of how much money they won. And so then finally, when she gets up to the table, there's a woman who presents you with all of your paperwork, which you said is amazing because it's already all printed out. All of your mm-hmm. personal information, a list of all your prize winnings by item, dollar amount, mm-hmm. and a ton of tax information that you kind of didn't understand, but you just
signed. Never seen in all my life. I said, sure, sure, sure.
Now, they told you a whole spiel about taxes and all this. The only thing you remembered that you told me, because we had to pay it, was... You have to pay the California state taxes on everything you win before the prizes will be released to you.
Correct.
And this is where you hear the horror stories of people who win cars and things and mm-hmm. never get them because they just can't yeah. afford to pay the taxes.
Yeah. And that a little bit of...
And the taxes were a few thousand dollars.
For sure. A little bit of yeah. backstage insight. So at this point, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't afford these taxes because they do tell you, you know, here's what you want and this is what the taxes will be. And I'm like, well, I can't pay that. I'm a 25-year-old girl. I just told you I don't work. I don't have this. So at this point, they make you sign. Do you want the prizes or do you want to forfeit the prizes? And I think a lot of people think that you can say, I don't want the boat. I don't want the stove. I just want the cash value of that. You cannot take the cash value. If you didn't win a cash prize, there is no cash coming your way. You can go through. I was given the option to go through and say, I want every prize but the boat because I can't afford the taxes on the boat. Or I want every prize but this prize. You can pick and choose which prizes you want, but you cannot turn your prizes into a cash value amount. You have to take the prize or don't take the prize. And then you have to agree to pay the taxes, I did. I said, yeah, my parents will pay these. Sure thing.
She knows
you best believe it. I'm not forfeiting any prizes.
And so she said there was a good like 50 pages of documents, like mm-hmm. you're buying a house.
That was a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. And so she did all that. And of course, she was told to not reveal the results of the show to anyone.
Yeah, right.
Look, we got the call before she was out of the parking lot.
And I was so nervous. I was because they were like, we want it to be a surprise.
I think they assume you're going to tell the people closest to you.
For sure. I mean, and the more you think about it, it's like, I don't think they care if Eden Buck's parents in Louisiana know she won.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is also when I was signing my paperwork, when I heard him refilming the showcase. Something must have happened. I don't know what. And I could hear them out there like, cut, start over.
Yeah.
Do it again.
So the one we heard on the show was not the one
that was
presented
one.
To you guys.
Yes.
Okay. So then after all that, you were given your cue card that they held up with your misspelled name on it, which you still have.
I do.
And you still have your name tag, your official CBS name tag. And then they escorted you back to the checkpoint where you surrendered your phone, where the guard said, I guess this is yours. Yeah. The only one left in the box.
This must be yours. The last in, last out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Last phone to be taken, last phone to be given back.
Yeah. And so you were reunited with Gabby. You called us from the parking lot. I remember it was like 9:30 mm-hmm. at night.
It was late.
Mm-hmm. So she told us the story. And as she's telling this, my husband and I's jaws were dropped. Mm-hmm. We literally could not believe, you know, how many people go to that show just hoping to get called up. This girl ran the whole thing. And I always like to say that night I saw my husband do a happy dance while he was brushing his teeth. I have it on video. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
He was so excited. But then the thing is, you know, there's a lot of tax stuff.
It was 2 years, I think, we were still dealing with taxes. And
this happened in April. Aired in June, and the very next year when mm-hmm. we went to do taxes for that year, our tax person had to deal with all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. California was saying that you had to pay California this, Louisiana this. Mm-hmm. It was a mess.
I definitely say if you want to go on a game show, that's great, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm. It's considered earnings. You have to pay tax mm-hmm. on it. And then, of course, we dealt with because she sold just about everything. Mm-hmm. You sold the boat, you sold the stove, you sold the dining room set. Mm-hmm. I think you kept the dishes.
And I have the dishes still.
We consumed the Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yes. I don't think we did the full dozen a week. And fun fact, when we went to the Krispy Kreme, so it was just a punch card
with 52
punches. And they would always say, where'd you get this card? I've never seen a punch card like this card. And I'd say, The Price is Right.
So when we'd come to the window, they'd be like, oh, The Price is Right, girl's here again.
Yeah. They knew me as The Price is Right girl. Definitely.
So it was exciting. The prizes trickled in.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day we picked up the boat was really exciting. And then she immediately sold it, which is great because she, like I said, she was a young girl getting ready to go into her, for her second college degree, and there would be expenses. So she took the cash. Which
Don't
was
let
great.
Her fool you. That's not where the money was spent. The money was spent on third row tickets to One Direction in San Diego, baby.
And plane fare for all her friends.
No, I think they paid for their flights.
You paid for the tickets.
Maybe
yeah,
I
or
paid
something.
For the tickets. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, well, that's the thing. When you're young, you do it. But not all the money went to that.
Okay. No, no. I mean, Lord, no. Jeez, Louise, yeah. No. Not 30 grand, no.
So then all that happened in April. And then on January 5th, the day it aired, it was on our DVR. And then we had an extraordinary viewing party that night for friends and family. That was wonderful. And it was great. It was quite...
It was great.
Anything you took away from that just... Very exciting.
Just a great experience. Yeah. If you're in LA and want to go see a taping of The Price is Right, good luck. Breakfast, eat your Wheaties. No, it was a really fun experience. And I always say this is like, I'm very thankful because this is my fun fact for life.
Yeah.
Any new job I get, you know, when they make you do the, give Tell me us. A fun fact about yourself. I say, I won The Price is Right. This is my fun fact for life. It was a very fun experience. And another little tidbit, if you win a game show, so like I won a CBS game show or I participated in a CBS game show, I cannot be on a CBS game show for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So you can't, I couldn't have been on Big Brother. I can't be on anything else on CBS for 10 years. And Gino and I were just talking because in 2 years, that's up. Crazy that it's been 8 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go on a Price is Right again.
I could go on the Price is Right again.
You could play No Whammies.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have any trivia, but what I do have is just a couple of questions. The studio, is it big, small, what?
A mix. It's a little bit of both. So
how can it be big and small at the same time? Please
well,
explain.
Well, I'll explain. So when I walked in, I do think I was surprised by how small the audience section was. However, the stage and behind the stage was like a full warehouse. Like it was huge. Behind the stage. And that's, I mean, obviously all the sets that they have, the prizes, they have offices back there. It's just like way bigger behind it. So the building itself was massive, but the audience was small.
Okay.
Right.
Now mm-hmm. I understand. Okay. And I forgot to ask you this, but I was thinking about this when you said that they took you backstage to mic you up. I'm thinking, so you had just gotten called up. The excitement and the adrenaline has to be going crazy. Did you have any kind of conversation with the person micing you up? Like, oh, I can't believe I'm here. Or I can't believe, you know, anything?
Yeah. I remember it's when you get mic'd up, you go back to the very back of the studio, like with the last row. And that's where they mic you up. So not backstage or anything. You're just kind of like in the audience.
Oh, okay.
Being mic'd up. And I just remember saying like, this is crazy. I can't believe this. Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. And they were like, just, you know, calm down, be yourself.
Okay.
Like you were
I
picked
wondering.
For a reason. Just be calm. And again, so nice. Everybody there was so nice. And they were like, congratulations. Like, this is so exciting. Like,
interesting when you said that they said you were picked for a reason.
Well, yeah. I mean,
was it the boots? Was
no,
it the
I mean,
bow?
No, one? I don't think that person knows why I was picked. They're
well,
just a
but
person.
They know
like,
that
but
everyone
they know
that gets picked gets picked for
gets
a reason.
Gets picked for a reason. Right. Exactly. Right. That's why they do casting. That's why they do auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the only things I could think of to ask that I didn't ask previously before we close this out. I do want to say, because this is the first game show that I've done a podcast about, that Betty White is the celebrity who has done more game shows than anybody else.
Like as a contestant?
As a contestant. Because, you know, sometimes they'll have a celebrity night and they'll play for charity. I've got a list here that I'm not going to read because it's ridiculous and crazy.
Was she ever on one before she was a celebrity?
No. And this is in following with my new rule that I have to mention Betty White on every podcast.
Because oh, that's nice.
This is a classic TV podcast. And she's classic, she's classic TV. She is. Well, this was informative. We hope you guys enjoyed it on this little backstage romp through The Price is Right. And Eden, thank you so much for sharing this with us.
You're welcome.
I
great
love
time.
I love reliving it. It was
I know.
Fun.
It is a fun story.
Yeah. And she Absolutely. Will be back, folks.
I will. Always. I'll Absolutely. Always be back.
Yep. And Eden, you know what to say.
Do we say Seinfeld? Since it's a game show?
If we don't mention him during the podcast, instead okay. of saying goodbye.
Jerry Seinfeld was not there at The Price is Right.
So
sure well, wasn't.
What do you say?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.